Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this podcast lesson, I'm joined by Agnieszka from our customer success team, who has a lot of experience with presenting and public speaking from her time as a member and director of Toastmasters, which she explains all about during our main discussion. We learn about her English language journey and overcoming her fear of speaking in public, both in her native language and English. Also, she answers lots of your questions, which we gathered from our Instagram at reallife.english, and she gives some great practical advice on how you can overcome your fears and start speaking in public, whether it's giving a presentation, speech, or speaking in a group. Ah, yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world. This is Andrea from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
effective
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're sweeping your living room, going out for your run, or even
rehearsing your speech in front of the mirror.
Oh, very nice. So I'm joined in the global studio by the lovely Agnieszka, who's joining me all the way from Poland. How are you, Agnieszka?
Oh, I'm great. I need to get used to be a guest here. I can only say that I'm happy to be with you here.
Thank you. I'm really happy as well. It's great to have you back and also to be talking about such an interesting topic. I love what you said, how you can listen to the podcast today. It's very fitting for our topic. So you may be wondering why Agnieszka is joining me for today's podcast, and it's because she has a lot of experience in public speaking. So she's going to be giving us some great insight into this, as well as how to overcome your fears when presenting in English. So with that said, let's jump straight into today's shout out.
Okay, I will read it because it's amazing. Excellent podcast to improve your English. I can learn American and British English at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. Thank you for reading that, Agnieszka. So that comes from a fan in Brazil who left that on Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much for leaving us a 5-star review. And it's great to hear that you enjoy learning both American and British English. And if you want us to shout you out, just head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to us and leave us a 5-star review, because this also helps other people to have fun learning with us. Okay, so next, let's jump into today's quote. And I think this one is great for today's topic. I hope you agree with me, Agnieszka.
Let's see.
So today's quote is, there are always three speeches for every one you actually gave. The one you practiced, the one you gave, and the one you wish you gave. This is by a famous author, Dale Carnegie. So what do you think about this quote, Agnieszka? Would you agree with Dale Carnegie?
It's so true. And I would add there is even the fourth one, the one you are thinking on before you start to practice.
Ah, interesting. That's great. So you would actually have 4 speeches.
Yes, exactly. And the fourth is the toughest one, I think.
So the one that you wish you gave?
No, the one you are thinking about before you start to practice, because you are so overwhelmed about it. You are overthinking everything. And this is the worst part. When you start to practice it, everything becomes better.
That makes sense. So when you're planning your presentation or your speech, that's the most difficult part.
Yeah.
How about when he says the one you wish you gave? Do you often have that feeling sometimes after you've made a presentation?
At the beginning, when I started to give speeches, I often had that feeling that I could do better and I didn't give everything from myself. I would like to see myself better. But now I started to like the way I'm giving speeches and I'm pretty okay with what I did. But also there is still room for improvement.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like sometimes, you know, after after you've had an interview or a conversation or even a presentation, you start to think, oh, I should have said that. And then I should have said that. But like you said, I guess the more you do it, the more experience you have that feeling less. So that's a really good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, great. So let's jump into today's main topic. So we are talking today all about how to be confident when you're speaking or giving a speech or a presentation. And for people that don't know who you are, Agnieszka, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about where you're from and when and why you started learning English.
I'm Agnieszka from Poland. Poland is a country in Europe, for those who don't know it. And I started to learn English 4 years ago. And 3 years ago, I joined the Real Life English, the Fluent with Friends course. Why I started to learn English? Because I was ashamed. Because it seemed to me that everybody around me knew any language, any other language. And I didn't. And I felt bad with that. So I wanted to make up for it. And I started to learn English. What is really useful, I can say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people will realize that even more when we hear more about your story. But then also, I'm sure lots of people feel the same way, which is why they're learning English as well. So would you say that that really motivated you to learn English? Was the fact that you felt ashamed that many people around you were speaking another language and you didn't?
You know, the thing is that it only seemed to me to be like that. I projected something like that in my mind, so it wasn't true, but I felt so bad that I didn't know English that I thought like that, that everybody knows it and I didn't. So it wasn't true. But what motivated me to learn? I wanted to be better at the thing that I wasn't good at. Then when I discovered what English brought to me, I felt so motivated with people who I met on my way.
That's amazing. And so you mentioned that you joined the Fluent with Friends course, and obviously once you join the course, you enter the Fluency Circle as well. What was your experience like when joining the Fluency Circle?
Fluency Circle is the best part of the course, in my opinion. But Fluency Circle is the greatest thing. And when I joined it, it was a small 100 members group. And I was afraid of reading because my reading was so poor then. I was afraid of making mistakes. Everything seemed to be scary to me. But with time, I discovered that no one was judging me, that people who were there were so supportive. So I started to be active, and I wrote a lot about anything, about events in my life, about movies. I translated Polish songs to English and shared it to the group. With time, I started to organize challenges. I encouraged other members to join me, and we had many challenges. 30-day challenge with tongue twisters. We said a tongue twister every day. We had video challenges. We had so much fun together that made us to be so close to each other that those people, many of them became my friends from there, and now they are really important.
That's amazing. It sounds like you were really proactive in the group, and you know, you made it an even more enjoyable experience for everyone. You mentioned there as well that you did like a 30-day challenge for tongue twisters. Just in case people don't know what that is, what's a tongue twister?
Tongue twisters are difficult, I don't know how to explain it, difficult rhyme that you have to say and to practice your pronunciation or just your ability to speak in English.
Yeah. And do you remember any in particular? Do you have a favorite tongue twister?
Oh, no. We had 30 ones, so there were even naughty ones. So maybe those were those that I remember for now. But no, I don't have any particular and that I like the most.
Yeah, they're really good, as you mentioned, for pronunciation and also just to get your voice and your mouth warmed up, maybe even when you're giving a speech.
Yes. And I have to tell you that I didn't believe that tongue twisters help. But after those 30 days, I get to know that it really worked. After those 30 days of speaking every day, of practicing this tongue twister many times a day, I realized that I spoke better now. I should return to it.
Okay, so it's great to hear about why you started and how you started learning English and your experience in the Fluency Circle. So it sounds like you were quite a leader within the Fluency Circle and, you know, really helping others as well by creating these challenges, which I know from being in the Fluency Circle that they still exist, that this still goes on. So, you know, it's something that's really lasted, that's helping people, and it's a much larger community now. So you're also a member of something called Toastmasters. Could you tell us a bit about what this is and what that means?
Toastmasters is a worldwide non-profit organization that teaches people communication and leadership skills. It was founded almost 100 years ago in the US, and now it has, I think, I don't know, it changes, right? It's changing right now because of coronavirus, but it has 350,000 members in the whole world. People
Wow.
who want, yes, people who want to learn how to speak in public.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. We learned not only how to perform on stage, how to be on there, how to speak in front of crowds, but what we learned is how to speak about difficult topics, how to speak to your boss, how to give presentations, how to appear on important meetings. It's great.
Yeah, because when I first heard that you were a member of Toastmasters, when I think of a Toastmaster, I think of, you know, for example, at a wedding, when you have a person there that is making the announcement. So they announce that it's time to go into the dining room for dinner. And then they announce that, oh, it's time for the speeches from the father of the bride and everybody else. This is what I was imagining. But it's a lot more than that. It's not just a course for becoming a Toastmaster, right? It's all the other things that you described, like learning leadership skills and how to present and how to speak to people.
Exactly. It's not only about giving toast during receptions, but yes, we learn many things. So we learn how to collaborate in your team, how to manage it, how to motivate people to join you in some projects, how to inspire people. It's not only about speaking, it's about being with other people and to influence them and to make them be with you and to lead them.
Wow, that sounds incredible. And for anyone wondering what a toast is, just in case, we're not talking about when you toast a piece of bread. So a piece of bread, you know, if you put it in a toaster, it then becomes a toast. We're talking about a toast is when you like raise a glass in a celebration. And in many languages, you might say something different. In the UK, we would say cheers. What would you say in Poland?
Na zdrowie. I can often hear it in American movies when they are Polish people and there is always vodka. And they say,
nice.
Na zdrowie.
Yeah, and another one that springs to mind is salut or salute. And in Greek, it would be stiniammas, you might say, mm-hmm. or some people would say oba. That's what you probably see in movies. So that's actually what a toast is.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to realLifeGlobal.com/pod. That's P-O-D to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
So, Agnieszka, what was the reason why you joined Toastmasters?
I had a tremendous fear of speaking in public. What is funny, I discovered it in Fluency Circle Group because we had a challenge that we called Tame Your Dragon. Dragon was like your fear. And I discovered that speaking in public was my biggest fear. So I thought that I have to work on it. And Toastmasters appear like a solution for it. I wasn't able to speak to people to protect my word. When there were only 4 people, I was afraid to say anything. I was so closed.
And did you have this fear speaking in Polish as well as English?
Yeah, the same. Yes, I thought that it was only for English, but I knew that that was also in Polish.
So it's great to see how far you've come. If, you know, you had fears of speaking in public, even in your native language as well as English. And this is a fear I think that a lot of people have, because we asked a question on our Instagram stories. We posted to ask what your biggest questions about speaking in public are. And so we're going to try and answer some of them for you now with Agnieszka's expertise and experience. And a lot of the same questions came up. So we have chosen a few of the most asked questions so that we can help you. And hopefully you can start combating this fear as well, taming your dragon of speaking in public. Okay, so the first question that came up a lot was, how can I sound more confident and overcome my fear of public speaking? So what would you say for this, Agnieszka?
Accept that the stage fear is normal and everybody has it. And think that if they asked you to give a presentation, you already are enough to do it, because no one asks anybody to do something if they don't believe in you. So you are great already and you can do it. So you are strong enough. If you make a mistake, just forget about it at this moment, because there's nothing, nothing comes with thinking about mistakes you do. So just go on and remember, everybody does it.
We're all human, aren't we? Everybody makes mistakes and it happens. It's a natural part of being, right? So
exactly.
It's okay if it happens.
It's good to have some expressions prepared for that moment. You can say a joke and go on.
That's really great advice. I completely agree with you. And I think that's such a good way of looking at it, you know, to first of all think, well, I'm being asked to give this presentation, so I'm being valued here. Someone sees something in me, so already you're enough.
Yes.
And taking that confidence then onto the stage or the platform, wherever you are speaking from, and knowing that it's coming from that already someone believes in you or thinks that you have something to share.
And what else? You have to practice and practice. And the more you practice, the more confident you will appear on stage or before your co-workers, before your boss. Practice in front of the mirror, in front of your family, record yourself and listen to yourself what to improve, what to correct.
That's really good advice as well, because we did have some questions actually from people asking, what should I do if I don't have anyone to practice with? So you mentioned there you can practice in front of the mirror, and you can practice recording yourself, and even practice in front of some family members. If you live with other people, then you can kind of start preparing for an audience that way, right?
Yes. And I have to tell you that this one is, I think it's even, for me, it's even more difficult to rehearse my speech in front of my husband than in front of other people. So when I'm brave enough to perform in front of him, is I feel like I'm very confident to, and I'm ready to give my speech in front of other people.
That's really interesting. So I can see how that totally makes sense, because maybe you're more nervous to give it in front of a loved one or a family member. So then it prepares you even more when you're going to give it in front of either strangers or work colleagues or, you know, people that you're not as close with. So then you'll be really prepared for that. That's great advice. And you did mention there, so another question was, if I forget part of my speech, how can I continue presenting and being confident? So you mentioned there that you should prepare some phrases or have some phrases in mind for when your speech goes wrong.
Yes, but first of all, remember that it happens to everybody, but there are techniques to avoid it. First of all is, yes, you have to be prepared. So I will repeat it, that practice is the key, but you can't learn your speech by heart, because then when you forget a particular word, you are freezing and you can find the solution. So the good solution is to prepare a mind map. You can have it somewhere there when you give a speech, and those pictograms that you come from one to another, they lead you through your speech, and you won't forget it. But when it happens, I don't know how to say it in English, don't shrink your body. No, don't hunch.
Don't curl up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just stand up, be proud of yourself, and maybe joke. Don't say that you are not prepared. You are prepared. Just go to another topic. Maybe you will remind yourself what you forgot and you can continue it later, but maybe it wasn't so important and you forgot it because of that.
That's good advice, I think. Don't acknowledge the fact by saying sorry, like you mentioned before. You'd kind of, if you make a joke or, you know, you're kind of buying yourself some time to think and maybe think back, okay, where was I, by saying a joke. And it's, you know, not apologizing for your mistake, but it's, you know, still remaining confident, showing that you're confident and that you can move on from it. And it gives you a bit of time maybe as well to think about what you want to say next and to continue.
Exactly. It works like that.
That's great. And so the next question is, how could I start practicing from zero level? So if you have no experience at all with speaking in public or presenting or giving a speech, what's the first thing that people should start practicing, would you say?
I think if you want to give a speech, first of all, I would encourage you to look at speeches on the internet, on YouTube. There are a lot of speeches that people give and you can learn from them. And then you can pretend that you are on the stage and you can give your speech before the mirror. You can record yourself. You can make videos of yourself. I did it like that. I recorded myself. I made a video and I upload them even on YouTube. That was something that really gave me a lot of confidence because I had to perform in front of camera and then upload it in public. And I was ready for what people say. And it was almost like speaking in front of other people. So this is what you can do at home. You can also record your voice and listen to it. When you get used to your voice, it's like half way because we are ashamed of our voices. We are ashamed of how we appear in the camera, on the screen. So it's good to do such exercises.
That's amazing. I think that's a great way to start. I think that's really great advice. You know, it's like when you're learning a language as well, for the first time, you need to listen to it as much as possible before you really start speaking. And I guess that makes sense then, you know, if you want to start presenting or giving speeches, start watching people that you admire and, like you say, imitate them as well. And that's kind of going to give you more confidence, a bit of practice. You can take on a persona maybe just to help you at the start. I think that's great advice for someone, you know, starting at the bottom.
Yeah, but then you have to find your audience because it's completely different in front of people. So if you want to be better, you have to find your audience and perform in front of them.
That makes sense. And so the next question is, how can I grab the audience's attention from the very beginning?
Oh, it's a tricky question. Someone experienced, I think, asked it. So there are some techniques. You can ask a question. So have you ever been in some situation? You can tell them a joke. So if they are in a good mood, they are already ready for what you prepared for them. You can say, close your eyes and imagine yourself. And this also brings them to the atmosphere that you would like them to be during your speech. You can tell them to do something. Just please stand up and clap your hands. When they are engaged from the beginning, they are ready for what has to be next. So it's good. Those are good techniques to catch your audience.
Yeah, they sound like really good ideas. And I can imagine that. I think I've maybe been to a presentation where that doesn't happen. So then it's very difficult to pay attention and be fully engaged from the beginning. So I imagine if someone's doing some of those things that you just described, it's very much going to get your attention from the beginning, and then you're more likely to keep people's attention as well. That's great. So the next question came up a lot, and I totally understand why. So lots of people asked us, how can I control my stress? So obviously, once you've done all of this practicing and you're prepared, and then it's time to give your presentation or your speech or whatever you're doing, speaking in public, what happens when that fear sets in again and you get really stressed? What do you do?
But first of all, it's still acceptation. So you need to accept that you are stressed, and you can look at your body, listen to your body. And when you listen to it, you feel that your stomach is tense, that you are tense in your arms. So when you are aware of it, you immediately make it loose. Yes. And it brings you more calm. Also, you can do breathing exercises. What I do, and I'm doing it very often before my speech, I take breath in. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Breath out. And many times until you feel that it helped you. And it really worked. What else? When you are stressed out, your temperature is higher. So it's good to drink something cold, and also doing physical exercises before your speech. You can go, you know, to the toilet and bend, swing your arms, dance, something what will bring some loose to your body. And then when your body is busy with it, it doesn't have time for being stressed. And this is something you will know. I think many people already know that when you are stressed, your body behaves the same like you are excited. So tell your body that you are excited. And that's really what I told you today when we met before the recording. How do you feel? Oh, I'm so excited, Andrea.
Yeah.
Yes. That was, yes, because I'm so excited and I couldn't wait for the recording.
That's amazing. I remember watching a video as well about that, what you said about turning your nervousness into excitement. I think it was Simon Sinek that spoke about that. That might be the video that I watched, but that's totally true. It's a great way of, rather than just thinking, oh, I'm so nervous, tell yourself you're excited, because like you said, the feeling is the same. So then your body will just start feeling excited, and then that's going to help you a lot more than having fear and being nervous. And I really love the first thing that you said as well, Agnieszka, when you were talking about feeling your body and understanding how your body feels in that moment and the tension that it would have, so that you can then start to feel a bit more relaxed and do some exercises maybe to loosen up your body. I think that's great advice. And, you know, because it's exactly what happens to us when we get nervous, when we're stressed, is everything just becomes really tense. And if your body feels tense, then, you know, you're not going to be thinking straight and it's going to affect you. So I think all of those were amazing tips. So, you know, if this is a problem for you, then hopefully you can at least start doing one of those things, and it's going to help you to feel less stressed in any situation, not even just when you are presenting. Okay, so I think we have so much advice there. Thank you so much, Agnieszka. What I would like to ask you now is, how has your experience helped you in your real life?
Those 2 years that I've been there in the club gave me skills to perform on the stage, but it's not only that. I became more confident. I get to know my skills. I get to know my strengths and weaknesses. And I like myself for both of them, for strengths and weaknesses, because I can use them both for creating better speech or to talk to other people. I'm more confident talking to people, to say about myself, to protect what I think, to have difficult conversations. So those for me who were really close and I wasn't able to say like that, for me it's really, really big step. And now I'm even able to train other people in speaking. And this is so something that is so satisfying, when you can help other people and you can see how they grow. This is amazing.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you can share all your knowledge and everything that you've learned so that you can now help other people. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? It's about, you know, working on something yourself and then sharing it so that people can then progress and get better in an area of their life.
This is something we learn in Toastmaster, because we not only receiving feedback, because every member after his giving a speech receive a feedback from other members, but then we also give feedback to other people, and we learn how to do it in a proper way to not hurt feelings other people. And this is so cool. We learn how to listen to other people Yes, and this is something we really need in our lives, to when we talk to our partners, to our kids, to people who are among us.
Definitely, I completely agree. And it's amazing how far you've come, and the fact that you saw this as a weakness and you wanted to turn it into a strength, which I really think you have done. When I first met you, I would never have guessed that you had these fears and this fear of speaking in public, because I see you as such a confident person. So, you know, I was very surprised when you told me more about your story, but it just goes to show you that if you are determined and you want to make a change and you put in the hard work, you can overcome anything and you can really just achieve great things. So it's very inspirational. That's something that I wanted to share with you as well, Agnieszka. You're very inspiring.
Thank you so much. It's really nice to hear that. Yeah, from my side, it doesn't look like that, but okay.
Hopefully one day you'll feel that more. I suppose it's still a journey, isn't it? You're going to keep improving and keep growing in confidence. You've already given us so much great advice, but if you could give one piece of advice to someone that has to give a presentation in English or that wants to improve in this area, what would it be?
I think that don't think too much about it and start to practice it. When you start to practice, everything will come itself.
I think that's perfect advice, and you've already given us so much already. So if you want an additional piece of advice, I would advise you to head over to our Instagram at reallife.english, where you'll have a bonus tip from Agnieszka there as well. And Agnieszka, thank you so much for joining me today. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast again and to learn about your journey and, you know, to help all of our listeners with all of the advice that you've given as well.
Thank you for having me here, because it's amazing. I hope that you will invite me more.
Oh, for sure. I would have you on every week if we could. But I'm sure that everyone will be listening to your lovely voice again. And, you know, I look forward to the next time that you're on the podcast.
Thank you.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.